Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. Do any of you know Saint Apollonius? Saint Apollonius? We just read about a man called Saint Apollonius in the Synaxarium. Potentially some of us have not noticed his name because the story was not about him. But I think that's the whole point. So we read in the Synaxarium about this governor who used to persecute Egyptians, Arianus, right? Remember the story, right? He was persecuting the Christians, he got hit in the eye, then he repented through the blood of Saint Apollonius. Do we know anything about this man? We don't know anything about this man. Yet his blood, the blood of his martyrdom, healed the eyes of a governor that used to persecute Egyptians to the point that the governor himself declared his Christianity in front of the emperor and was martyred himself. Which demonstrates to us the difference between how we as Christians perceive things, how we see, and how God sees. The man we don't know, never heard about him. Yet if we go to heaven and we look at the ranks in heaven and how God perceives this man, we would be amazed with the glory that this man has. Our objective as Christians is to become in the likeness of Christ. And often to become in the likeness of Christ, we have to be doing things in a way that this necessarily does not help, or does not, people do not perceive us as helping. People might not understand what is it that we are doing. Yet Christ sees in a very different way. So we are created in the image of God, but we are meant to become in the likeness of God. So I want to share a verse with you in John 10. Christ was saying, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So Christ says, as the chief shepherd, that he lays down his life for the sheep. And I look at this and I could be very thankful to God. And I'm very grateful to God. And I say thank you. And my relationship with him is deepened, but maybe it ends there, right? And my relationship ends up being between me and him. But then Christ continues and says this. He says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So originally this verse speaks about the Gentiles, right? So there's a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles at the time. And Christ, the chief shepherd of the Jews, was saying, "You are my flock." But there's another part of that flock, the Gentiles, right? They also I must bring. And I lay my life not only for you as Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And we are Gentiles. We are Gentiles. And we look at God and we tell him, "God, I thank you. I thank you that although I am unworthy, you look upon me with mercy and compassion, and you have come to save me." But God also tells me, "You're welcome." But it doesn't end there. Christ tells me, I who is a Gentile, there are other Gentiles out there that I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And we all need to become one flock under one shepherd. And again, I bring back often the Samaritan woman, right? The Samaritan woman was exactly that. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Samaritan woman was a bride, so meeting her bridegroom. At the time, men and women, bride and bridegroom, would meet often at the well, okay? And this is part of the Jewish tradition. And that's why the disciples, when they saw Christ meeting the woman at the well, they freaked out. And I said this before. Christ spoke to many women before. The Canaanite, many women, right? They never freaked out, but for the Samaritan woman, they freaked out because what is happening here, a man is speaking, or Christ and God in the flesh is speaking to a woman at the well. Because this bride is us. We are the Samaritan woman. And he tells me, I don't care about your past. The Samaritan woman was a sinner, yes. But I love you that way. And I want you that way. I will marry you that way. And the Samaritan woman, and the Samaritans in general, they used to worship on Mount Gerizim, right? And Mount Gerizim is the place where they used to worship Yahweh. But at the same time, they worshiped the pagan idols. So God tells me, I understand that a part of your heart is led towards the idols. And another part might be worshiping me, but not in the fullness of understanding. But again, I want to change that in you. And he changed her with his wisdom, with his love, with his compassion. But what did the Samaritan woman do? And that's what I want to get at. What did she do? Was her reaction to say, thank you, Lord? Yes, I'm a Gentile, and you saved me, and that was it? She ran, and she preached, and she exposed her sins. She couldn't care less of who she was and how people perceived her. Because it doesn't matter how people perceive you. The only thing that matters is how God perceives you. It doesn't matter how people perceive me. It's about how God perceives me. And she went and preached. But maybe some of you don't know, this woman became a saint. Right? And her name is Saint Fotina. And what's very ironic with her story is that her Christianity was initiated at a well, and her martyrdom was also at a well. So this woman was taken under the rule of Emperor Nero, and she was thrown in an empty well because of her Christianity, and that's how she became a martyr. So this woman, again, which is the church, drinks from the living water at the well, and with that water, she will never thirst again. Symbolic for the Holy Spirit. And this is the age that we live in. That we live, we are full of God, united with Him, enjoying His presence. But we go out in the world and we preach. Whatever matter happens, happens. Even if it means that I will die also at the well, let it be. So let me tell you the story of St. Ignatius, and I'll come back to the Samaritan woman. St. Ignatius was a bishop, early 2nd century. This is the time of his martyrdom. He was the disciple of St. Peter the Apostle. The man was a bishop in Antioch, and the Roman soldiers came to take him from Antioch, from Rome to Antioch, to bring him back to Rome to martyr him. So as the Christians heard this, they started going to him and writing letters that we're going to go to the emperor and we're going to tell him not to martyr you. We're going to tell him how great of a man you are, how a saint you are, and we want you to be with us. Then he wrote to them many letters. And listen to what he says. He says, do not stand in the way of my birth to real life. So before that, he was saying stuff like, even if the lions, because he was devoured by lions in the Colosseum. He was saying stuff like, even if the lions refuse to eat me, I will trigger them for them to eat me. I can't wait to be with my God. Do not stand in the way of me meeting my bridegroom. That was his whole mentality. And then he says, do not stand in the way of my birth to real life. My birth to real life. What do you mean, your birth to real life? Does he mean his birth here? Do not stand in the way of my birth to real life. Do not wish me to be stillborn. My desire is to belong to God. Do not then hand me back to the world. Do not try to tempt me with material things. Let me attain pure light. Then he says, only on my arrival there can I be fully a human being. Only on my arrival there I can be fully a human being. Our real birth is when the soul leaves our body and we become real human in the fullness of the meaning when my soul leaves my body. The Samaritan woman was born in the spirit at a well. And like Saint Ignatius, she was born in her real life in heaven to become a full human being also at a well when she was thrown down that well. But a Samaritan woman is an example for us. I pray that not only we are thankful to God for his salvation, but I pray that our hearts ache us to imitate this woman, to imitate Saint Ignatius, to imitate God that says, I lay down my life, I lay down my life for the sheep. But there are other sheep that I must bring. I'm the Samaritan woman. I must bring the other sheep. And if it means that as a priest, if it means that as a deacon, as a servant, as a congregation member, as a youth, as a child, if it means that I need to lay down my life for this, then that's what it means. And that's why when we look at St. Apollonius in the beginning and we don't know who this man is, we never heard of you before. But God knows who he is. Because he did imitate his Savior in laying down his life to bring others to him. Even a governor that used to persecute Christians. The wonder and the glory of God. Nothing is impossible with God. But God can only work these things when I am willing to lay down my life for him and for the sake of the other. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.